Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Brothers and sisters, lovers, and sinners, artists and exhibitionists, voyeurs and connoisseurs, straight and gay, bi and tri, patriotic and revolutionary, or patriotic or revolutionary and revolutionary. We're all children of sex. That's right, brothers and sisters. Even if your papa jerked off into a cup and then injected your mama like a turkey, that's still sex. Somebody actually asked me about that on my Facebook page. They said, no, we're not all children of sex because, you know, there's in vitro fertilization. But those sperm, they gotta come from somewhere. A magazine. A fantasy. Sex. Somehow, somewhere, there's some sex. So far, I mean, the cloning, okay, that will not involve sex, but so far we are all children of sex. And I'm not just talking about procreation. I'm talking about recreation. And I mean that not just like Memorial Day vacation. I mean re-creation. You know what I mean by recreation? I'm figuring it out right now. I'm recreating, brothers and sisters. Recreating is what we do with sexual play. We recreate our childhoods. We recreate our fantasies. We recreate our concepts of heaven. And this is what keeps us alive. Not just alive, you know, the procreating takes care of that, but then there's living. There's wanting to live in the face of death. And that is what our sexual drive gives us. So, just in case you don't know, this is a show about sex. Turn your lights down low to a nice, erotic, patriotic glow. It's Memorial Day weekend if you're listening to us live, and it's also the last weekend of
Masturbation Month. How is this related, you might ask? Well, for one, we here at the Dr. Susan Block Institute drop pocket rockets, not Patriot missiles, even though we are very patriotic. We sure are. In fact, a little too patriotic. I actually got criticized by the anti-REMA factions for supporting our Miss USA in such a patriotic, erotic way. But I do believe in spreading our cultural values, but not through violence, not through war, through dropping pocket rockets. I mean, we can drop the Hitachi magic wands, too. They are better vibrators, for the most part. I mean, however, they would hurt if you dropped them from the sky. You know, they're pretty heavy. These are light. You can put them in your glove compartment. They're convenient. Fabulous. Ship these to any country we're having problems with, and they'll have a revolution our way. Yeah. So, we're having a revolution here on Radio Suzy One. Worldwide revolution, worldwide sexual revelation. Ah, on the World Wide Web. And it is Memorial Day weekend. We're kind of, you know, hanging out just together. It's a hangout party. People that were left behind from the other people that went off on their Memorial Day weekend vacations. And again, that's where masturbation comes in. If you were left behind, no worries. You can always enjoy yourself. But I have an interesting little crowd here tonight. Some people I know, some people I don't know, and we'll find out more. First of all, someone I know pretty damn well is my engineer, Prince Maximilian.
Hey, hello, Doctor. How you doing?
Welcome back to Radio Suzy One.
Glad to be here.
Yes.
There are more ways than one.
Yes, absolutely. Glad we don't have to have a Memorial Day for you.
Right.
That's always a good thing.
You might on Tuesday, though.
Tuesday, we're going to have rockets red glare. Right. Bombs bursting in your heart. It's a process called ablation. Kind of exciting.
Yes, real exciting and thrilled.
Aw.
I'm ready.
I'll be there for you.
I'm ready.
Flag.
Give me some of those good drugs, man.
There you go.
I don't know.
Those are always fun.
Right?
Yeah, they always, you know, they give you a little bit of a cushion.
Yeah. It's all right.
Anyway, here we are on Radio Suzy One. We have drafted an audience member or two, actually, possibly three. And I want to introduce Jaden.
Hello.
Jaden, we have to turn up her microphone.
I have it up.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Jaden.
Hello there.
Yeah.
Hello, Jaden.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. I'm, you know, hanging out in my underwear, celebrating.
I see that.
Memorial Day weekend. Of course, it's special underwear. This is patriotic.
Why not?
Mm. And you have the patriotic microphone.
Yes, I do. I see that. Nice. Very nice. Thank you.
Yes. Well, you're welcome. Yeah. You know, it just kind of worked out that way. But, you know, we wave a lot of different flags here. So how did you happen into this patriotic, erotic den of iniquity?
A friend of mine. I'm always into new things.
Ah, new things.
Always. And, of course, I'm a lesbian, but I'm always into...
Of course.
Of course.
Well,
but
I knew that. But you've just disappointed a lot of the testosterone-laden creatures.
I'm not disappointed.
No,
I like
you're
women.
A lesbian, too.
I like women. That's all. I, none of this stuff with these guys, man. Shh, donkey man. I like nice smelling girls, you know.
Yeah. But why do you get invited into the harem?
Well, I don't, because I'm a stunky guy, really.
I'm always open to new things.
So. How about stunky guys?
Huh? not guys, though.
No, not guys.
Into new things except for guys.
And what new things have you done lately?
Lately, actually, it's been... Because I just moved here not too long ago.
Moved to L.A.?
Orange County.
Orange County, O.C. From where?
From Palm Springs. Originally, I'm from Finland.
Finland?
So, yeah.
Wow, that's far north.
A long way. But I tend to know that... I figured out that Orange County is very conservative, and it's hard for me to find anything exciting around here.
Well, you know.
So it's hard to find. But I lived in...
Well, here you are, on the radio. Yeah.
Well, I lived in... moved from Helsinki to Los Angeles, not too... Silver Lake. Do you know where Silver Lake is?
I do, actually. That was the first place that I moved when I came to L.A.
Yeah, I moved to Silver Lake and then to Palm Springs, and now I'm in Orange County. So Orange County is very different from Silver Lake. And I used to party in West Hollywood, so it's very different. And West Hollywood was my playground for a while.
Right. The whole lesbian scene?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, West Hollywood is, you know, like gay city, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
So,
it is. You
know, OC is a little more subtle.
Yeah.
And all those Republicans who are closet everything.
Yeah, and they're hidden. They're hiding.
They're hiding in the bedrooms of the bedroom communities.
Those Republicans hiding in bedrooms, that's right, in the closets.
I love Orange County, but it's hard to find what I'm looking for.
And what are you looking for?
Girls.
This is that kind
of
show.
Girls.
Well, yes, you're lesbian, so you're looking for girls. Do you look for, like, very femmy girls or young girls or... Well, not too young.
Well, see, I'm going to be 30, so nothing, probably 21 and over, of course.
Okay.
So probably about 25 and over.
And what kind of a girl?
Femme.
And aren't there a lot of femme girls in OC?
I found some, but not many so far.
Kind of bossy bitches down there, huh?
I mean, I like feisty women.
Yeah.
Of course.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
50-50 is okay when you're playing.
Uh-huh. So you're from Finland originally?
Yes.
You were born there?
Yeah.
And where are your parents from?
Finland. Well, my parents are from Finland. We all moved from there to America.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you don't look like most people's stereotype of a Finnish girl. You have this exotic look to you.
I know a lot of people say that. No. I just, I don't know.
How about great-grandparents? Where were they from?
I have a lot of Irish background also.
Irish. Now, that's another thing you don't look.
I know. It's like a lot of people have this concept of Irish people.
Yeah, as redheads or...
Redheads or whatever. And even in Finland. But no, they're mostly dark-haired, light-eyed.
Black-Irish, dark-haired, right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Gotcha. Finland. Well, you know, my sister-in-law's mother is from Finland, and she's Thai. So people get all mixed up a lot.
Really?
No,
really?
Yeah, really.
The countries and the cultures, I think, are getting very mixed up these days, which is a good thing. I think it's a good thing.
Well, it all depends on what part of Europe you're involved in. It's like with me, it's a Helsinki. It's not too big. So it's like Travesta and like other parts of Finland has. So it just depends on where you're from.
When did you realize you were a lesbian?
10 years old.
Really? Do you remember like a moment or a what was that?
Just playing around, playing house.
That's how I found out I was a lesbian.
Playing house.
I was playing house under the bed.
The first thing I did.
Uh-huh. And you wanted your wife to come home to the house.
I was always the dominant one, even at 10. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So, for 14 years.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. And how did your family take your coming out? Because you seem like you're pretty much out.
They still don't like it. They know, but they still probably won't accept it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So,
So you're here to be free. Because I guess they're...
It doesn't matter what country I come from. I would always be myself. But if my family doesn't accept it, what can I do? I mean, they'll always love me. And
yeah.
I know that. So they don't like the idea. But
well, okay. They don't have to like everything about you because you're different from them.
Yeah, they don't like it. They have, you know, every family and every parent has their own what they want you to be.
Sure.
So
yeah, families are terrorists.
Mm. Well, it's mainly. Like you know, your mother always wants more for you than what she had.
Oh yeah, sure, right.
And it's
more
not going to be that way.
More
I'm not going to be subservient and have 10 kids.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
did your mother have 10 kids?
No. I come from a very small family, actually.
Oh, okay.
But my grandmother
had 10 kids.
I'm not going to be subservient to some male and be unhappy. I did that once. I was
you
married,
were married
once.
Oh,
married.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you were married.
I was married.
So, but this was after your 10-year-old
I was married at 18.
Ah, was this like arranged or?
Yes, it was.
Who
His
arranged
family
it?
Knew my family, huh?
Oh, really? The
yeah,
family
yeah,
to family
so tried
arrangement.
It didn't work out.
Really? Was this a religious sort of?
Kind of, sort of.
What religion?
No, not really. They just had their own ways. You know what I mean?
It's very like, mysterious.
Yeah. Old school.
Old school, but you're not going to tell me what religion?
Christian. Yeah.
But arranged marriage.
Kind of, sort of, yeah. They thought that, because I didn't come out until after.
Right.
So
right.
I tried it. Didn't work out. That's all.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, it's worth a try.
It's worth a try.
Yeah, you know, because some people are bi, you know, but you're not. You're pretty focused.
No, I know a lot of people
chickies.
That are bi. And
you
I don't,
know a lot
I
of
don't,
people.
I have nothing against them whatsoever.
Good.
I dated people. I've dated girls that are bi before.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Is it frustrating?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is, sometimes.
I guess so.
It just depends on the arrangement.
Hmm.
Or it just depends. So.
And I think there's a lot more bi girls out these days. Because why not? Why not enjoy
why not?
Women, you
yeah.
know? I mean, girls that primarily like men, then look at women, especially women like you, and go, well, why not? Maybe I should try an adventure.
Well, why not? Yeah.
Right.
If they're not looking to be, for me, if they're not looking to be serious, why not? Have fun. Go ahead.
Right.
Yeah.
But what if you?
Well, I've been in this situation before with a bi
uh-huh.
that was serious about me and just turned the tables. So,
she was serious about you.
Yeah.
Did she also have a male?
No.
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 She just liked men too, but she wanted to be with you.
Towards the end, it turned around. So.
And you wanted to be with her.
Yeah, I did.
And did she get a male lover?
Yeah, she cheated on me at the end.
Ah, with a guy.
Yeah.
Oh.
After a year and a half. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So, anyway, you never know.
Well,
you never know.
Are you kinky?
Yes, sometimes.
What's your kinky bent?
I'm not too kinky, actually. I'm kind of shy.
Well, you're dominant. You said you were dominant.
Look at me.
I don't think you should look at your male friend. Or
no,
are you signaling her?
We have an interesting relationship.
Oh, okay.
He's my, like my best friend.
We're best friends. She's my girlfriend's girlfriend.
This is Les.
Yes.
Okay.
And she's a lesbian girlfriend's
also.
Girlfriend.
And you are also a lesbian. There's a lot of guys claiming to be lesbians.
I'm coming out of the closet.
We're all lesbians.
Yes.
Okay. No, I like, you know, I'm very simple with toys. Strap-ons on occasion.
That's simple.
But girls, I don't know why, but they tend to just like what I already have.
Your fingers. So. You're very good with your fingers. Good with your hands.
Yeah. So.
It pays.
But occasionally.
Well, not that it really pays.
Penetration to me is penetration. I don't care. But
penetration is what?
It's penetration. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's in and out, in and out to me. But yeah. So occasionally I like the old strap-on.
So. The old strap-on.
New strap-on, old strap-on, whatever.
Jaden's a giver.
How about vibrators?
Oh, I'm very much a giver.
Yeah.
Really?
I'm very dominant, yes. Never
Well,
had
what about your pleasure?
I'm sorry? Should I say this or not?
Sure, you can say anything.
Go ahead. No one's listening.
Yeah.
Sure. my pleasure is scissoring.
Aw, tribadism. Yeah.
But I do it a little bit differently than most.
How do you do it?
How do I do
it? Well, what do you... You mean you give me a leading, you know, statement like that?
No,
explain.
I just do it a little bit differently, but it gets...
I guess there's different ways to do it. You can be very sensuous, and you can be very rough, and...
I'm both. So I start out soft. But I think, to me... when a woman masturbates a lot, I mean, a lot of girls do the same thing. They rub their clit, right?
Right.
And that's how they get off.
That's the main thing.
So, if you're rubbing clit to clit, you're going to get off.
True.
So, I don't think... Since a lot of guys say, I'm sorry, but I don't think a lot of women get off of penetration more than they do rubbing.
Right. No, that's true.
And foreplay.
And you know what? Guys that listen to this show know that. They have to accept that.
I'm sorry. I mean, why do girls masturbate for and get themselves off more than they can with men?
Because, yes, that's the pleasure button, the clit. Right. I mean, there's pleasure inside, too.
Sure.
But you're right. The vast majority of women are going to have orgasms from external stimulation, the clit and the labia, licking and
of
rubbing.
Of course, yeah, going down, too.
And,
so, yeah.
Of course, the pocket rocket. Do you have a pocket rocket?
No, I haven't.
You prefer red or white?
What is it?
It's a vibrator. It's a mini massager. You can carry it in your purse and use it on a girl in a club.
How about the red one?
There you go. Happy Memorial Day.
Thank you.
From America.
Thank you.
We drop pocket rockets.
Thank you.
On Finland. yeah, I mean, do you go in for vibrators, or do you feel like that's like... takes too much away from your
sometimes
touch.
But I'm very natural.
Right, you seem like that. But you also said you like new things.
Yeah, I'll always try new things.
Yeah,
always.
And there's no doubt vibrators can be addictive. You know, yeah, sure. Anything good in life can be. So, you know, you gotta kind of go back and forth between using it and not using it. But you don't deaden your senses like some people say. You do
no,
temporarily.
I'm a very sexual person. Very
well, I think, yeah, we could deaden a few of your senses and you'd still be hot.
Oh.
Jaden and Les. So, Les, you have a girlfriend who isn't with you tonight.
My girlfriend is in Kansas.
What's she doing there?
She is assisting her brother, who's military and is in Afghanistan deployed, and care of his pregnant wife, her sister-in-law. And it's a very noble thing she's doing, but it's very difficult to be in a long-distance relationship.
Yes, I'm so glad I wore my red, white, and blue tonight.
Me too.
Well, you know, we're against all the wars.
Yes.
It's just occupations at this point.
I agree.
Expensive.
Yeah. I don't support it either. I support my girlfriend.
Good. Yeah. Well, that's good. And anyway, and I mean, now, who is this? Her brother?
Her brother.
Her brother is deployed. He's a
correct. He's
military.
Army. He's Army. They come from a very low-income family.
Ah.
This was an opportunity for him to make. He's a medic.
Yeah.
And he wants to be a doctor. And this is a great opportunity for him. Unfortunately, the surroundings is war.
Yeah. Right. That's the thing. That's what they don't tell you till you get there. they say, be all you can be, and, you know, we're going to pay for your education, and we're going to, you know, basically give you a really good job. And they do. It's just that you could get killed really easily. And you're also occupying somebody else's country and dealing with that. And, you know, I mean, it's a war machine. I mean, it's been a war machine for a while, right? But lately, I think it's just gotten to be more of a machine, and it does suck in the lower-income people, of course, except for those high-income people that want to be politicians or something, and then they get deployed to, you know, Florida or something. So, okay, so you're having phone sex at least while she's gone?
Quite a bit.
Yeah, okay.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, we're all for that. And yep. Masturbation, of course, and it is masturbation.
Would you like to share this?
I would not.
Masturbation month.
Yeah. Jaden and I share phone sex quite a bit with my girlfriend, and it's an interesting. It's a very interesting relationship.
Jaden, you
male.
Share phone sex.
Straight
you have
male.
A.
She's my girlfriend also.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
wow.
Right.
Oh, this is one of your bi girlfriends.
It's a unique dynamic. Yes.
I'm not committed to her like he is.
No, I'm in a committed relationship.
But
she's in a fun
she
relationship.
She wants me too.
Wow. So that's
but
interesting.
But I have a lot of other headaches.
Do you have sex in the same room, you and Jaden?
We have. Yes.
And with your girlfriend. You both do.
I'm a lesbian, mind you. But
I do mind. I mean, I do.
She hasn't had sex. But I leave that aside.
But I've been like, in the same room when they've had sex, and I've learned a lot. She's taught me more than you know.
I have taught her.
I can imagine. Yes. I think this is one of the reasons that guys really like to watch lesbian movies and just lesbians.
I forget he's in the room most of the time.
Yeah. This is a first for her. She's never had
I've
a male.
Never, no. Because so I was in it before I met him. I was in a year and a half relationship with a woman.
Wow.
By myself.
Uh huh.
So
the one that cheated
about
on
a year.
You.
That's the one that cheated on you.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So you might as well go in. You know, get to know the guy right
but
away.
But he's you know I have got a lot of guy friends and I don't mind it. It's like as long as you stay away from me.
Absolutely.
Oh.
And wow. Him and his girlfriend have an open relationship.
Right.
And she's the sweetest little thing.
Yes, she is.
I bet she is.
I love her.
Capture both of your attentions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, tell me the truth, though. Do you sometimes fantasize about doing it with Jaden?
I think initially I did. I think I've grown to respect her now. And
what do you mean? You don't want to have sex with women you respect?
No, that's not what I'm trying to say.
I'm sorry, you set me up for that one.
That's true.
No.
But I respect the fact that she's a lesbian.
Yeah, okay.
And it's new to her.
So you put up a barrier.
Absolutely. I mean, she's an attractive woman.
She's very
attractive
woman.
She gets mad when I call her, a girl or a sexy girl, but she is. But she's a strong girl. She's a strong person.
Yeah.
She thinks like a guy, but has girl parts. And that's the way I look at it.
Thinks like a guy.
Yes, absolutely.
How does a guy think?
She's very dominant. We go to clubs and we both look at girls. We chase skirts. We have fun. We have a great relationship as guys.
Wow, you go out like the two guys
all
and
the time,
you leave
all
your girlfriend at home?
Absolutely. Well, right now she's gone. We do this while she's gone.
Oh, I see.
We have to keep our minds, active and
Do you pick up a girl together?
We have an open relationship with my girlfriend and we are able to do so. And we have done it previously, but nothing recent. Nothing recent. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
In time, you know, in time, I will want to have my own.
Absolutely.
Like, right, but you're young, and this is an interesting thing
to
explore.
Well, I'll be 30, which isn't that old, but still, I've already been. You know,
it's a number.
It's just a number.
And anyway, this is an exciting kind of adventure you're on, and if you're happy with it. For a while.
Yeah, it's fun.
And it doesn't hold you back. You can still meet Ms. Wright.
Yeah, and I'm open to that. It's like, I've been in relationships with girls before, so it's nothing new to me. So it's not, I'm like, I'm bi and don't know what I want, but.
Right.
So, I'm open.
Are you drinking?
What's that?
Would you like,
what is that?
This is agua. It's agua coca leaf liqueur. It is perfectly legal. It is made from the coca leaf. Costa Rican coca leaf.
Are you sure that's not absinthe? It looks like absinthe.
No. It's not absinthe. No, no. It's much lighter.
Jayden knows her way around a bar very well.
You want absinthe? We have that.
We have that, too.
Do you have absinthe?
Yeah.
Would you like
you
some
have absinthe?
Absinthe? Oh,
of
yes.
Course.
Absinthe, please.
Please. Yes. I haven't had it in
absinthe.
Years.
We're
Are
giving you,
you
some absinthe. Absolutely.
What is it?
Absinthe is a very absinthe is pretty strong. What is it made
goodness.
From? Absinthe. I feel a little bit
if it's made right.
ignorant, except that they were drinking it a lot in the late 19th century in Europe.
You can get it in any bar in Ireland, and where I'm from, actually in Finland, you can get it anywhere.
And there's a certain absinthe herb or something that has been illegal for a long time, so it's very, you know, sort of underground. And yet now there's something that is legal. That's the thing we're drinking, I think. It's kind of a root or an herb of some sort.
It's
the absinthe
not, it's wood,
herb.
It's not made with
wood. Absinthe.
Wormwood. It's not made with.
It's wormwood, right?
Yeah, wormwood, and that's the traditional one. This wormwood is not allowed in the United States, so it's made with another kind of wood.
But it's close to wormwood.
Yeah, it's very close to wormwood.
Like,
it's like the tree next door.
Snake wood.
The tree next door.
And and this is like 150%, you know.
Proof.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
This is this is good.
So it's coming now. It's coming
we're,
now.
We're bringing it out of here cellars here at the Speakeasy.
So
we want to give you a new experience.
Anyways,
I've never had
good.
It here before. I've had it in Europe. So.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a new experience here.
This is French.
Having
this comes
absinthe
from France.
In America on an American holiday.
Yeah, this comes from France.
And it is a French brew.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it is.
Absente, absinthe.
And we want
Grand
to thank
absinthe.
Our friend and sponsors.
Absinthe. They're not really a sponsor.
They're not sponsors. They're just a guy that works at this place, and he gives
us the drinks to drink.
Gives us this stuff
because we love
it's fabulous.
So much.
Yeah, and he always comes up with different ones. He's got agua. He's got
Magellan gin.
Magellan gin is a French gin, and it's like a beautiful blue, like blue eyes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Beautiful.
And it's psychedelic. I'm telling you, I don't like gin, but when I drink Magellan gin, weird stuff starts to happen.
Yeah, the absinthe is pretty psychedelic, too.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, and you can only drink so much of it.
Right.
Right, and well, but it tastes
without
good.
Dying.
You know, it's kind of like a...
Some of it, it's like a licorice type of substance.
It's a sweet taste, though. You can keep drinking it beyond what you think you can handle, you know?
Yeah,
it's true. Well, anyway, it seems like it's brewing over there. I guess
brewing.
Is it coming? I mean,
it's being aged. We'll be right with you.
Okay, all right. So in the meantime, we have a couple of callers on the line.
No fire. No.
Don't bring the fire to the table. You can just fire it up over there.
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the fire problem
is. Don't worry about it.
Okay. I am not going to worry about it because, you know, otherwise I'll get worried. So why don't we take a couple calls? By the way, I'm going to give out our number.
Okay.
And it's 213 670-0066, anywhere in the world. But here in North America, we'll pay for your call. And that's 1-866-289-7068, 1-866-289-7068. And we're talking about sex, fun, wisdom. We're talking about the lesbian life, the bi life, okay, sharing your girlfriend, and the war. We're talking about the wars because it is Memorial Day. And we have someone once removed whose someone is deployed in Afghanistan or just home right now and going back to Afghanistan, a beautiful country that is torn apart by so many warring mentalities. Okay, so 1-866-289-7068 is the number if you're in North America, and 213-670-0066 anywhere else in the world. So we have someone in Dubai I'm going to take.
Okay, who is it?
His name is Bilal. I think it's a he, I guess.
On what line?
Bilal. And that would be line 3.
Line 3? There's nobody on line 3.
Okay. Well, we did have someone.
Okay, there's nobody on line 3.
Okay. And so we have our friend Imtiaz on line 2.
2. Okay.
Yes, there you go. You've got your absinthe.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Imtiaz.
Oh, hi, Susan. How are you?
Good. I'm doing quite well. Happy Memorial Day.
I've got a surprise for you, Susan.
You're what?
I've got a real surprise for you tonight.
Excellent.
You know who's on the line tonight with me? Your lovely friend, Anna Murphy.
Oh, Anna. Wonderful. Hi. Wow. Hi, Anna. Welcome to Radio Suzy 1. I'm so thrilled to have you.
Thank you. Very nice to be on talking to you.
It's great to talk to you. Now, I should explain that Anna is somehow related to Imtiaz. She's your niece, is that right?
Yes, she is.
And she's a beautiful woman, although I've never seen her face. But she's on Facebook. But it's not her face. But she is a mysterious woman. Yeah, you know, Facebook is full of sort of faces that aren't quite the faces of who you think they are. But she gets on my Facebook fan page, and her and Imtiaz have wonderful discussions about sex, love, life, and death. Really, very, very intense discussions.
She has a very specific question to ask you, by the way.
All right, well, we're ready now that we've had some background.
Go ahead, Anna. You should ask her yourself, not let me speak on your behalf.
No, actually.
No, go ahead. Please ask her yourself. I'd rather you ask her.
Oh, my God. Actually, I've forgotten my question, so you will have to ask.
Oh, okay, anyway, her question is in the following.
That was slick, Anna.
That was very slick,
I must say.
Convenient
forgetting.
Susan.
The following, okay.
She's got a 77-year-old man who's kind of very enamored by her at the moment.
Right.
And he lives in Michigan.
Yes.
And he's offered her the world, more or less. Literally the world.
Does he have the world?
Well, I don't know about that, but he's offered her that, nevertheless.
Well, anyone can offer you what they don't have. That's the thing you've got to check out.
But he's offered her a trip to Netherlands. He's offered her a trip to go to a wedding in Chicago. Yeah. He wants to take her to the Kathmandu in Nepal. And nevertheless, he's offered her quite a lot, actually. You
mm-hmm.
know?
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, her question to you is that what should she do, because she's never, ever had a relationship outside a marriage?
All right. Well, I'm glad you added that she is married.
Oh, she's married.
She's a married woman. Married how many years?
32.
32.
Ooh,
yes.
Wow.
Well, that's very impressive. But I don't know if this is a really happy marriage. I
It's a horrible marriage, but nevertheless, she's married.
Right. Okay.
That's great,
the husband travels, doesn't he?
Husband lives in Dubai.
He lives in Dubai. So are you saying she could go to the Netherlands without him knowing? I mean,
absolutely.
Wow. Really? That's high level jet setting there. She's going to go to these places, to Kathmandu, while he's in Dubai, and he thinks she's in Canada?
No, he'll think she's with me.
with you down in
Phoenix.
In
other words, I'm going to a wedding in August in Chicago, where Monique Walker is meeting me.
Right.
So, you know, the husband will say this, meeting in Tiara at the wedding.
Now,
right. I see you're her cover.
Yeah, precisely. I'm the beard, you know.
The beard, exactly. right. So now you're the one that's going to have to interface with your.
Is this a little Muslim skullduggery here going on? What's going on here?
No, it's not Muslim. It's just skullduggery period, you know.
Right. It just so happens that they are Muslim,
right.
But they are
simply just accidental, by the way.
Yeah, it is
that's
totally
an accident
accidental
also.
Because,
yeah, for
because
real.
the monotony of monogamy is quite common.
Yeah.
And
all across religions. And
definitely goes
cultures,
across religions. I would say it even goes into gay relationships.
Right.
You know, long-term relationships are difficult to keep exciting. And
well,
we manage, but we have a show every week where we stimulate ourselves.
Oh, right.
But one thing I was thinking is that in a way, sex and relationships is our career. A lot of people have careers that are in the way of their relationships. Anyway, it can backfire though, because there's a lot of sex experts who have terrible. Love lives.
Oh yeah, most.
So most people have, you know, long-term relationships. It's tough. It's tough. Nature did not create us.
Most relationship guides and advisors all have terrible.
I think most of them
do. They're married and remarried and refried and retried and, you know, it's really strange.
Because most of them are kind of snake oil salesmen in a way.
Yeah.
Because it's tough. It's just across the board tough to keep a relationship exciting over.
By the way, you should go. I vote that you can go.
So we're coming around to saying, well, you should go.
We have a panel of experts here.
But you have to be able to explain this to him. You have to imagine that your husband is going to find out. Right. So do you know what you're going to do? When that happens.
Right.
How are you going to explain that you're in Kathmandu?
How do you explain that you're in Kathmandu?
That would be tough.
Right. Well, maybe you just start with Chicago.
Chicago is easy. That's
yeah,
okay,
that
start small and see how far you can go. Now, how come this guy is so terrible? What is so wrong with this marriage? We have to see, here's what we have to do, folks, and I'm just getting right to the point. We have to somehow demonize her husband so that we can feel right
about doing this.
Because
we're advising
you to cheat on your husband.
Right.
And that's kind of wrong. And that's kind of
You
but
know,
it's
well,
it's
yeah.
not always wrong.
No.
There are times when you just have
so
to
tell
save
us how,
your life.
Tell us how terrible he is.
The problem is, I think he's not that terrible. He can be very nice too. Had he been really terrible, it would make things easier.
I see.
Yeah. So there's I think there will be a huge amount of guilt on my side. I'll feel very bad lying to him.
Okay, well
just
then...
Just because he's not really, really bad person.
I am glad you're speaking for yourself, Anna, because, you know, Imtiaz made him out to be the devil. That's why we all kind of...
He can be a devil at times.
In what way?
Just very insensitive and... to my feelings, but at the same time he's a good provider also.
That counts for something, good provider.
And if I was ever in big trouble, I know he would help me out.
Uh-huh.
At times I wish he was a really bad person. It would be so much easier to leave him too.
But does he live in Dubai all the time and you're here? Or no? How does that work?
Yeah, we travel back and forth, but not a lot recently. But yeah, he lives in Dubai.
And do you know whether he is monogamous with you?
He's recently... I thought he was a different person, but in the last 10 years, he did lie to me quite a few times, and he's hurt me many, many times.
So he has other women?
One.
Well, and so are you? Would you have sex with the 77-year-old guy or not? Sorry to be blunt, but...
No.
No.
I want you to what you say now.
Now...
I'm getting old. Now,
I'm sorry to identify him as the 77-year-old guy, but I was not given a name.
Yeah, right. No, okay? I understand.
So, now, okay, so you wouldn't have sex with him, and this gentleman is okay with that?
No, he thinks I'm going to have sex with him.
Oh, so you're deceiving both men in your life, the husband and the other man. You just want to travel. You know?
I just want to travel and just have some fun, but no sex.
I think you should, you know, get a lesbian lover.
Oh.
I don't know. Well, I have a lesbian on my show as a guest tonight, so I've got lesbianism on the mind. But I don't know. I think you should certainly let the guy who wants to take you around the world, you know, you can only tease him so long. You can't lead him on forever. So, I don't know if this is a good escape hatch for you, but what is it that you want? What are you looking for, a lover, or are you looking for?
She wants to have fun. She's a girl.
Girls just want to have
fun. She wants to travel.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
Uh huh. Well, how about if you tell your 77-year-old paramour in that sweet, sincere voice that you have, that that you're not ready to cheat on your husband, but that you want to spend time with him.
Mm-hmm.
Get to know him.
Get to know him and Kathmandu. But yeah, I mean, be pretty honest, but at the same time, a little teasing. Okay, I don't want you to lie to him because he could get angry and, you know, dump you in Kathmandu, and it's dangerous there. You know, it really is. I don't know. I've been to Kathmandu. It's a beautiful area. It's just amazing. And I climbed in the Himalaya region. But that was years ago. And now I think it's a lot more dangerous. So just be careful about Kathmandu. A lot of Maoist rebels and then conservative guys fighting with the Maoist rebels and people getting caught in the crossfire. Oh, okay, yeah, I'm going to be talking to my relationship counselor, Guy Blues, in just a moment, but let me just finish up with...
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't know that he was holding, but okay. Sorry, Guy, I'll be with you shortly. So I guess I'm leaning towards honesty in both cases, and it's not that I always believe that honesty is the best policy. Sometimes, when the Nazis are at the door... You lie and say there are no Jews under my bed.
Or in my bed.
Or right.
Or on the board of directors of anything.
And that goes for all different cultures and nationalities. But in any case, lying is sometimes appropriate and the best thing to do. But I think you should tell your husband something. What are you going to tell him? You should tell him that you want to you're going to be traveling with a friend. Right. Is that so terrible, to be traveling with a friend?
Well, it has to be a female friend.
Well, get the 77-year-old to pony up for another woman. That, you know, that's the key.
Uh-huh.
And you can travel with her, too.
I think we ought to take a vote.
Right. I think I had a good idea just now.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great idea. Yeah.
Get another woman involved. Yeah.
Or can you travel with a... like long lost relative or something from Holland or?
Well, that would be a lie.
Imaginary, yeah, but it would be a lie.
That would be a lie, yeah.
Does he know this guy, this 77-year-old wonder?
No.
Oh, no. Did you meet him online or something? Anna.
No, he doesn't know him at all.
Yeah. How did you meet him?
Oh, I met him through MTS.
Imtiaz, rogue, you.
You.
You are a rogue.
I was trying to help both parties concerned.
Yeah, Imtiaz.
Yeah, but there's a lot of, complications here. But I think that it all could work out with a little bit more honesty, and
right.
And I think regardless of the outcome, that's what you need in your relationship to spice things up.
Yeah.
Get his blood boiling, you know, if nothing else. Maybe he takes you for granted too much.
Listen, between a lie and the truth is embroidery. So embroider a little bit.
You know,
that's
you may not
say.
End up going
Go
to Chicago with the guy, the 77-year-old. I have to identify him that way because
yeah, no, that's fine. This okay. is an old guy.
You may so. It may end up some other adventure, but open up to your husband.
That's what you get when you
tell
get
him you need to travel, and you're going to do it with a girlfriend, but then you got to get the other guy to pony up for your girlfriend.
That can be arranged, by the way.
It all can be arranged.
So you're really, really in there, aren't you?
I know, if Chiaz is in there, he can find a girl to go along. Yep.
I got so many girls available, no problem.
Hey, maybe I'll go along for part of the
Could
trip.
Could you send some over here?
We're going to Kathmandu.
Yeah, I'm sending you a few girls.
I haven't been to Kathmandu for a while. Get him to pony up for me. And, of course, my husband.
Yeah, and me too. Yeah, because I'm 60. I'm 66.
And, of course, the speakeasy wants to go now.
And then there's the crew. You got to have the camera guy. Tell him it's a movie production.
Imtiaz, I'm catching your throat problem here. And I have a relationship expert on the line, so maybe he'll shed some light on all of this as well. Guy Blues. So, great to hear from you. And Imtiaz, your voice sounds great. He told me he was sick today.
You sound terrific.
I've been very sick the last 4 days, by the way.
Okay. Well, if anything, it's just a little deeper, deep.
And I had a question for you, but I'll ask that another time, perhaps.
Okay, or you can call back.
Are you going to call back,
call
or
back.
You can hold if you want?
Or you can hold. Yeah. I'm going to talk to Guy.
Okay, why don't I hold for you?
Okay.
Because I don't want to...
Hold
let Anna go,
for me.
Okay. And I'll wait till you get done with your...
Anna.
Okay, Anna, thank you.
I'm so happy
thank
to
you,
have
so.
Met you over the air.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Okay, we'll
and
see
you go,
each other.
Listen, you go wherever you want to go.
No,
don't even worry about it, okay? Don't you just go have fun.
You just go have fun.
Travel.
Let
okay.
all those guys just
life is
eat your dust.
Yeah, life is really short, okay?
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah. You got to travel. That's one thing. Right. I'm just trying to finesse it so you don't lose, you know, the pension and.
Okay. I'm going to put you guys on hold.
All right. Okay. Now, practical, you know? We got to be practical with our callers. Okay. Yeah. My husband's so romantic.
Okay, you've got your.
That's why
guy?
I love him.
Guy
yes.
is on the air. You
guy
there, guy?
Is on line one.
Hi.
We have a relationship expert and friend of our friend, Mariah Diamond, Guy Blues.
Hello.
Welcome to Radio Suzy One, Guy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm happy to have you. Mariah has spoken very highly of you.
She clearly doesn't know what she's talking about.
I didn't think so, but I thought it would be entertaining to talk to you. So, so here you are.
I will do my best to be entertaining.
Oh, well, let's see. Relationships, they're always kind of entertaining, especially when there's somebody else's.
Yes, that's true.
That's what we like to watch. Soap operas are full of relationships. Thrillers are full of relationships. Comedies, you know. So, but how about our own?
Even the action movies have relationships in them. It's amazing.
Well, those, not so much, but they have some. They have to have some, so, you know, the moms and the girls that go along with the boys will be okay with sitting there, yeah. So, what is, let's talk about you and your, like, specialties. What do you like to focus on when you counsel people about relationships?
My main focus is to try and dismantle the fantasy and stop the miseducation, because I feel very strongly that it's almost like we are given our opinions and then we live by them, and we have agendas that really are somebody else's agenda, and I think it hinders us a lot when we go into our relationships and when we try and have successful long-term relationships. And I think that if my main focus is to try and get people to be objective about their relationships so that they look at it from an outside perspective. Because I always say to people, if your friend was going through exactly what you're going through, you would know exactly what to say to them. But because you're going through it, oh, well, you don't understand. Oh, it's not like that. But if you step back from it, you can actually see it for what it really is. And actually then you have much more chance of being objective. perspective and having a better perspective, and then you can be more successful in your relationships.
Objective.
Yes.
As opposed to subjective.
Exactly, where you only see things from your point of view, which means that ultimately you're going to miss most of the story.
Right. I guess. I mean, your point of view is always there, too.
Absolutely.
But objective. How do you get someone to be objective when, you know, we're in our own bodies and we're perceiving things our own way, and we kind of think that we know how the other person perceives things, especially if we've been with them for a long time?
I agree, but I think, again, this is part of the miseducation, is that because we're not really taught to be objective, we live our lives being subjective, and then we can't understand why we'll go into the same sort of relationships and make the same mistakes over and over again.
Right, right. No, I understand that, but what I want to know is, how do you teach people to be objective? Because, okay, we're not really taught to be objective, I guess. We're not really taught much about how to conduct our love affairs, really. I mean, we're taught to be objective in science, and I guess we're...
Is there such a thing, even?
But it's tough, even for scientists, to be objective. But it's always tough to be objective. So what I was wondering could you give us a little example, like, of how to be objective? The Guy Blues method.
The Guy Blues method.
Yes, exactly.
What I will generally say to people is, for example, let's say they think that their boyfriend is misbehaving with another girl, but they're not sure, and they're kind of festering on a situation that's not very good. I will always say, okay, step back from the situation and imagine that it's not your boyfriend, that it's your friend's boyfriend, or that it's your brother, and how would you react to the situation in that way? So I try and get them to look at it from the point of view of somebody else. So then the second you go, oh, it's not my boyfriend, it's Mariah's boyfriend or Dr. Susie's boyfriend, they can see, oh, okay, well, he's doing this and this, and this is what I would tell Dr. Susie to do, and therefore you can swing it back around to yourself and go, oh, that's what I should tell myself to do.
Okay.
So more of just trying to...
I gotcha, I think. You know, you try to see it from... You try... to see it from someone else's point of view, but that's always difficult.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if there was a trick.
Well, that's my trick, and it seems to work. Once you start to get people to think, I mean, I think life...
You just kind of beat people into doing this, you know, verbally, I mean.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Say one more time?
Well, I was just wondering how you get them to be objective, because, you know, we'd all like to be objective, I think, but we're all pretty subjective. And even when we go, I see this from my lover's point of view or from my mother's point of view or something, we're really still seeing it from our point of view.
I'm still going to shoot you, motherfucker.
So your kind of method is to just really kind of keep reminding someone. Just
keep reminding. Exactly. Well, and I think that life's about reminding yourself. I always say that love and life are a continuous work of art, and so you're always having to remind.
You're like a coach. That's what you do. You coach people. Say, hey, get out of your head. Try to see it from the other person's point of view.
Yes.
And they carry you around like tapes of you telling them to do this, right?
I have books of me telling them to do this, and like what I do with my coaching, I call it one-on-one.
Right.
And I sell a monthly thing where you can call me any time that works for you. So that, for example...
Oh, you don't have the motivational tapes?
No, I don't have motivational tapes.
You got to get into that. I do too.
I really should. You're right. Everyone tells me that with my English accent, I do very well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you do great, you know, and then you don't have to say it all the time.
Yeah.
Then you can just put it in a Walkman or something. What are they? Oh, no, Walkman's is old technology.
Right.
You put it in one of those other things.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you got to do it. All right. So,
we'll do that. Maybe
you know,
I'll take the recording of this. And
there you go. Well, yeah, this is okay for a beginning, but you got to, you know, kind of do it in a hypnotic way. Well,
right.
I'll give you a minute here. Go ahead. Take a minute and talk like you're a coach talking into my ear about how I should be more understanding of my husband's point of view.
My wife and I are having problems.
Yes.
She dresses very funny, and I don't know what to do.
And he wears a necklace.
Right. And I wear a necklace. And panties.
Is it a particularly jangly necklace or just around the neck necklace?
It's a thing to heal me or something.
It's one of those.
Some rocks. Somebody gave me some rocks.
Jade, you know. Rock things.
Right.
Very feminine.
That's very cute. It's pink.
Yes, in that pink. Case, I would ask your husband to see it from your point of view.
See, it's pink like my phone. I have a pink phone. I'm a lesbian, basically.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's why I love her so much in her funny clothes.
You're the best husband ever, so Susie, you have nothing to worry about. Just apart
there
from
you
that.
Go.
Well,
he sees it from my point of view.
Yeah, that's right. He is saying it from your point of view. I want you to do this in reverse now.
On the other side of the coin, I would say that, you know, if you think Susie has funny clothes, you could always just get her naked and then everything would be over and done with.
You got me started on these funny clothes.
Yes, I did.
You've only got yourself to blame, right?
He does.
Yeah. No, she's great. So,
So tell us about you then, Guy.
You married?
Yeah. Not married.
You have a girlfriend? You got children, huh?
I've got a girlfriend. I wrote a book called Marriage and How to Avoid It a long time ago.
How to avoid marriage. Okay, that's good, yeah.
For some people should avoid it.
Yeah, that was my thing. I think there are some people out there that really should avoid it, so I wanted to give them the option and the alternative and a way to actually kind of get through life without feeling that they were not successful if they didn't get married. So I wrote Marriage and How to Avoid It, and
you sound like you're starting to think that maybe you shouldn't avoid it. Maybe you should get married.
No, I absolutely know I shouldn't get married. That's for
no.
Sure.
You don't want to get married? You want to try it?
No, I would be a total disaster at marriage.
Have you ever tried it?
No, I haven't. But
how do you know until you try it?
Well, I don't need to chop off my left arm to know that it's a bad idea. So.
Okay, wow.
Well, that's honest, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So well, I don't think marriage is for everybody. It's true. It's kind of it's an institution, and
right?
For some people that means a prison.
Right, that, yeah. An exactly institution,
for me,
right.
I would feel like I was in the cage.
Yeah.
We have one here.
And somebody else has the key, which is always the problem. Right. I don't mind if I've got the key, but when they've got the key, it worries me a bit.
But so we like not being married, I think.
Yeah, I actually love being married. I wouldn't know what to do. I mean, what do I do?
I don't know what I would do.
No, I wouldn't know what to really. If I went to a bar and like try
to pick
somebody
up.
He
likes to have one. You know, he knows where she is,
right?
Basically.
Yeah,
even if she's with someone else.
Yeah.
With that necklace, you could charm them. They would just come to you and say, "I love your necklace. Where did you get that from?"
Oh, they do that, and then I have to keep them all away. That's the big problem, because I don't know what to say after
that. He gives
them
foot massage.
I blush, you know.
Sometimes.
I get embarrassed.
You would be too busy if you weren't married, is what you're saying.
Actually, no. I hate not being married, and when I was a young kid, I wasn't married until I got older, because everybody wanted me to get married because I'm an Italian boy, and I had to have babies and do all that stuff there. But when I wasn't married, it was a disaster. There were just so many girls everywhere, and I didn't know what to do.
You were a beach bum.
I couldn't work. I couldn't do anything.
You had all these bikini models.
My life was a wasteland.
It sounds like a pretty good wasteland, though, like you were having fun.
Well, I mean, it was all right, but you got to do something in life, don't you?
Well, I guess, but if a wasteland is to do, then that's great. If you're enjoying yourself, I think life's about enjoying yourself. It's about balance, is what it's about. It's probably too far one way than the other.
Yeah. No, I need an anchor. I'm a bum at heart. I'm Italian. I don't want to do anything. Okay. I just want to be an artist. That's all.
Marriage is an anchor, and for some people, it's
keeps me straight.
It's a prison, but for some people, it's kind of home base.
Yeah.
You know, it's home. It's that homey, warm feeling that somebody really, really cares. That somebody's committed themselves. And that's another word that's like prison. I mean, being committed. It sounds so, yikes, I'm being committed, I'm imprisoned. But yet, a commitment in life is a real benefit to... you know, when you've got grandiose ideas about yourself and you have great projects, whether that's having 10 children or
that's
having an institute
and a
speakeasy, you know, I mean, you can do it by yourself, but it's so much more fun to go on an adventure in life with someone, I think. it's like you share all these experiences and memories and
yeah, without the kids though.
Well, yeah, I said that's one project that some married people get into.
Yeah, you can't even breathe anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's not enough food for all of us.
I think we have a relatively...
I got to eat. There's 20,000 kids that can't eat.
...child-free existence, except for your children.
You know, right?
Right.
But my question always is to people is, do you need to be married to do those things together? Do you need to be married to be committed? Because if you do, then there's probably a problem with the relationship.
I don't know if you do need it, because I've only been married once myself, and I do know that I tried... starting these kind of projects, if you will, with other men, and they would end. They didn't go anywhere. Now, they didn't build on them, and usually they'd end when we would get tired of each other, and I think that was because we weren't really in love, or maybe it was because we weren't married. See, I'm not sure, because as soon as I felt I really fell in love, I got married. So I don't really know if Max and I would have lasted if we didn't get married. I don't know. Because we did get married, and we just saw marriage, as another one of our adventures, plus something that would please my mother, yes. You know, she really wanted that. And I say that unabashedly. But
she wanted us married.
She wanted us married, you know, and... And I think part of the reason was she saw that I was different with this guy, that I was really in love with this guy.
Yeah.
And she'd never wanted me married before.
And by the way, nobody else wanted us married because I've been
married twice.
I had four kids.
And
I was like this total bum. What are you marrying this guy for?
Right.
You know, he's 12 years older than you.
I really think that in a way, made it difficult for us.
I was broke.
But it also... gave us friction. You know, we had to prove to these people that we could stay together and that we could be together. And it also made us kind of like outlaws in more ways than one, not just figuratively. But anyway,
yes.
That which doesn't kill me makes me stronger. And that's sometimes what happens with a marriage. Not always. Sometimes these terrible things that happen to marriages really drive people apart. Marriage is such an individual institution. It's like it depends on the couple, really.
And I also think the other problem with, for you two, you don't have kids, but for Max, being married before, the people who really get damaged in a divorce are the children. And that's the other problem.
The children get damaged regardless. All children are damaged. They're all sick.
They're all damaged.
You want to send them all back where they came from. They're monsters.
But yeah, yours are unusually damaged.
Children are fucking terrorists. That's what they are.
He does have some damage.
We give them life, and these guys, they want to take your blood, everything. They want your money. They want your car. They want everything. You know.
Well, that is the nature.
I mean, you can't even go on a vacation without taking. It's a family vacation. Fuck the family.
Had them.
Well, yeah, but that's the Italian stuff of like, you got to get married, you got to have kids, if I had known all this, what I know now, and when I found out, I said, listen, can you take these guys back? They said, no, it's way past the warranty period. So,
And you've nicely circled back around to my whole thing, which is the miseducation, is we're so miseducated as children that we
that is correct. That is correct.
Oh, well, I've got to have children, otherwise there's something wrong with me. I've got to be married, or there's something wrong with me. I haven't succeeded because that's what my parents want, and that's what
my society expects.
And my whole thing is trying to dismantle that. You know, even your religion kind of throws you into all of that.
So
you have to confront everything.
Especially if you're religious.
Yeah, especially.
Right.
You have to confront everything that you were taught and really think, was I given this opinion, or did I make it up myself? And generally you'll find I was given that opinion.
Who was it? The great radical of the 60s wrote a great book that says, kill your parents. Okay?
Some kind of like...
Jerry Rubin or one of those guys. Says, kill your fucking parents.
Alan Watts, I think.
Yeah, don't even listen to these people because it's all a lie. They tell you got a lifetime ahead of you. They don't tell you it's 11 minutes. Okay? Because that's what it is. It's 11, maybe 11 minutes.
Well, we have to have some people that procreate.
Right. No, that's fine. They can procreate.
We are let others into procreate. Recreating here at the Speakeasy for the most part, you know. Yeah. I mean,
That's the nice thing about gay and lesbian kind of stuff. They don't produce all these things that roam around the earth.
Well, they can do it with a turkey baster.
No.
And they do.
They do with whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah, right. With whatever. Right.
Batteries not included.
But anyway, yeah, we do have too many people on the earth anyway.
Right.
So.
And I'm a big believer in that. And this is another thing. If you did not get married and then decided to have a child with somebody, the decision is so much more acute that you're probably going to have a lot less children on the planet because a lot less people would be breeding because they would be thinking, well, they might get up and run away. I'm not gonna have a child with that man because he might leave me on my own with the kid. Or I'm not gonna have a child with that girl because she's gonna leave me on my own with the kid. And so it would mean that people would have less children, which would help with the environment.
That would be wonderful.
I'm all for that.
I agree.
But you know, marriage. I don't know why. I think everybody should get married.
Marriage is nice. It's nice.
I mean, you could marry a woman, right? Yeah. In some states.
Why?
No, not you.
Why? Right.
Well, you could, but guy doesn't want to get. Of course, if someone doesn't want to get married, they shouldn't. I think that anybody that wants to get married should.
Yeah,
that,
they should.
That's what I mean, I guess I'm saying. I think that men should be able to marry men, and women should be able to marry women, and
100%.
Trannies exactly. Should be able to marry. You know.
If you want to get married, you should definitely be able to get married, no matter what your preference
is. Listen, some people are married to God, others are married to Jesus. You could be married to a tree. I don't care. Just do your thing. Be nice, okay? Don't hurt anyone, okay? And I think then, you know, it's all really nice, right? Cute, sweet.
But and on the other side of it, you know, you don't need to be married to be a great parent. And, you know, a child does not need a husband or a wife. It needs a mother and a father.
You know, what is this thing? You know, I'm a Second World War baby, okay? A lot of kids were brought up by their mothers because all the dads were killed in the war, millions of them, and they grew up fine. So what the hell's with this? The kid doesn't have a father. He's got a mother.
It does help if it has a father figure, whether it's the grandparent or the brother or somebody that can just, you know, give it a balance of male-female perspective, which is always a good, you know, back to balance, and that's always a good thing to be able to do. But it doesn't have to be the father.
No, but right, because your father's dead, okay, kid? He died because he went to war, because that's what we've been doing for centuries, and... You know what I'm saying? It's like kind of awful.
Well, I don't really want to encourage guys to have children and then leave them.
No, I understand. I understand.
You know, if they're going to, you know, say to a girl, "I want to have a kid with you," then the woman has to also look at the guy and go, "Does this guy really want to be a father?"
The problem is a lot of time you're just drunk and you're having sex and then there's a baby. What are you gonna do?
Well,
birth control.
Before you give birth, you birth control, or you can have an abortion if you really want to. If you really know that this person's not going to be a great parent and you can't be a great parent, it's not fair to bring.
Kill the baby, right? I'm with that.
Hey, that's not killing a baby.
No, it's just a thing, fetus.
It's not even a fetus yet. It's an embryo.
A seed.
A fetus has got to have a little, you know, something going on.
Right. Can't think. Anyway, I think that marriage is great. I think that being married is great. Not married is great. I think that being alive is really great after my little heart attack. And I think that we have to actually go because we have another guest here.
We have
MTRs. And, you know,
and
it's been really nice. Where can they reach you? Where can people find out?
The best place to find me, I have a website called realisticrelationships.com. And I have all of my books up there and my blogs and videos.
And soon to be your audio tapes.
Your audio tapes, of which we're partners in.
Yeah.
Because we had the idea,
not you.
We had
the idea.
You are genius, and I will thank you and include you. Right.
And tell us again that website.
RealisticRelationships.com.
Realistic Relationships.
BLEWS.
Thank
you,
Guy.
So have fun with your girlfriend
this
weekend, I hope.
Thank you. She's with me, so I will have fun with her.
Oh, okay.
You take care.
Mm.
Thank you, guys. Have a great rest of your marriage.
We certainly will. Yes.
Yeah.
Bye.
We will.
Okay.
All right.
There you have it.
Do you have a website?
No, not yet. Email.
She has a Facebook page.
A Facebook page. Oh, okay. Right. What kind of work do you do?
I'm a makeup artist. I worked for Showtime Pictures for 2 years.
Ah, Showtime Pictures. That's not the channel Showtime. That
network.
That's the network, Showtime.
I worked for L Word for 2 years.
You did? Wow. Well, that's impressive. That's a great show. Yeah. And you did makeup.
I did makeup, yeah.
Great. Well, I like how you did your eyes.
Thank you.
That smoky look. Okay, so we are riding the airwaves here on Radio Suzy One, going into the final quarter.
Okay, we've got...
what have we got?
There's still somebody on hold.
I believe that would be Imtiaz.
Yeah,
he had another question.
We have another guest in the studio.
We do?
Bring him. Okay.
Guests.
Our other guest. Come on, sit down. Okay, Imtiaz. Let's take Imtiaz.
Imtiaz. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
I can hear you loud and clear, yeah. Imtiaz, with
yeah,
that,
so
that
here's
voice.
My question, actually. It's quite philosophical.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm just curious, is there any reference to lesbianism in the Torah or in the Bible by any chance?
Well, it would be subtle, but there is some, in a way. Not like there is homosexuality. And the homosexuality reference is, of course, King David before he was king, and Jonathan, the son of King Saul, and they had a very passionate friendship, at least, and certainly there is references to them being naked together, exchanging clothing, and certainly wrestling and spending lots and lots of time together to the point that King Saul got very upset about it, like a lot of parents do. And when Jonathan died, David said that his love far surpassed any woman. And they had a lot of a loving going on, those two boys. That's for sure. And yet, it's not like it says, the Bible says that, you know, they had sex specifically, because I think they reserve that for procreation. The Bible is concerned about, you know, when they say, and he knew her, it's usually going to lead to a baby. That's usually what happens in the Bible. And figure, with these two guys, they don't really get into it, you know, what they're doing specifically. They don't say knew.
I think there was a lot of stuff like that going on.
But there was a lot of stuff going on. And yeah. They also have a negative attitude towards sex in the Bible, of course. Like in Sodom and Gomorrah, supposedly the citizens of Sodom and Gomorrah were all having gay sex. And that's why we have the word sodomy.
And we have one more guest, and does that answer your question?
No, it doesn't at all.
Oh, it doesn't.
I just started answering. Do you know what his question was?
Yes, is there a lot of lesbian stuff
in
the
Bible?
Yeah,
right, I haven't gotten to the lesbians.
Oh, yeah,
I haven't
gotten to the lesbian part.
I've just been
talking
about the guys.
Okay.
But in terms of girls, yes, well, I think the Bible would probably consider that, like, hardly even worth talking about, because there's not going to be a baby that comes of it, so who cares? Women in the harem, I'm sure, that Esther was in when she was brought into the harem, were together all the time, and they were rarely with the king, and there weren't any guys around except these eunuchs. So, of course, they're having sex with each other. They're doing stuff. And then there's the relationship between Naomi and Ruth, which is a very close relationship. Naomi is Ruth's mother-in-law, and Ruth's husband is killed somehow, and Ruth stays with Naomi, and Ruth, Ruth's husband is also Naomi's son, of course, and Ruth stays with Naomi, and it's like they're these two women together, and of course they don't talk about sex there, but a lot of
lesbians or people with dirty minds do imagine that perhaps this is a kind of lesbian relationship because they're so close, this mother and daughter-in-law. And it is Naomi who suggests to Ruth that she lay down on the threshing floor of this kind of big barn that their boss, Boaz, is the boss of. And he's got a lot of, you know, gelt. And she says, lay down, you know, take off your loincloth or whatever and lay down and open yourself up to this man. He's a good one. And she does that, and she snares him, and he marries her, and she becomes a very wealthy woman, and Naomi's always there with her. And then, of course, they are the ancestors of King David, is Ruth. Gosh, I didn't know I'd be giving a Bible Bible study course, MTI. You should have warned me. I would have brushed up a little and been able to quote the verse.
No, but you know, Susan, this is a very interesting subject. The reason I'm mentioning this to you is because yesterday in Lahore...
which is actually a city. It's not the prostitute. Right. It's a city in Pakistan.
For you Americans.
Yeah. Right. You think
but yesterday
talking
in Lahore, what happened was
Lahore.
That...
yes, there were people
80
killed.
80 people were killed.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And the reason they were killed was because that particular sect made a film about Osama bin Laden being a pedophile and being a homosexual.
Right, which are, by the way, not the same thing. I mean,
Yeah. Okay. Well, I didn't know that. Wow, that's interesting.
Actually, MTS put that on my Facebook page.
I'm making this up for you, just to, for some...
I missed that.
There was a film made about OBL being a pedophile and a homosexual.
Wow.
And so they went in and killed these people in the temple.
In like a riot.
Wow.
Well, tonight's theme does seem to be gay sex in today's world. I mean, and it's coming out of the closet, you know, and some people are reacting with horror and murder and mayhem, and I guess that's what these people reacted with. I guess these are sort of so-called supporters of Osama who were offended that he was brought out as this. And did the film? I mean, of course.
Well, I'm just glad we had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, really, huh? We didn't do anything with this one.
This one's not our fault, guys.
This one's not our fault.
Yeah.
Actually, you should know this because this is the reason why this happened.
No,
well,
I should.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
It's
fascinating. Is that in? Does anybody in the news say that? Or
No. This is not in the public knowledge yet.
No?
But I'm familiar with this because I spoke to somebody in Lahore today, and they confirmed this particular report to me.
Is it on the internet?
No, it isn't.
No.
I spoke to somebody in the
It
box
will
today.
Be.
it'll come out eventually, but it hasn't come out yet. In other words, it's not public
Interesting.
Knowledge.
Wow.
Interesting.
Well, thank you for giving us breaking news, MTIAZ. And on our theme
today... I try my best, you know, to give you as much information as I can, whatever little I know, you know.
Don't give us too much.
Right.
You know what I'm saying, right?
We don't want to be attacked. Right. We have much information.
Well, MTIAZ, we love you.
Yeah.
And,
let's introduce our other guest here.
Another guest here.
Okay. Take care.
Take care, MTIAZ.
Yeah, MTIAZ. Yes. Get well.
Peace.
I know.
Get well.
You've been ill, but...
You know. And you all come back soon now, eh?
Okay.
Bye-bye. Yes.
Bye, MTS. Boy, he's always quite a character.
He is.
Yeah, he's got all kinds of bits. We have another guest in studio that we rounded up here.
Hello
there.
Hello.
You have to get a little closer to your microphone.
Closer?
Yeah, then,
okay.
There you go.
How about that?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay.
Very good.
Good.
And I'm sorry, what was your first name?
I'm David.
David. All right, David.
Call me Pappy.
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 Yeah.
Pappy.
Hey, Pappy.
Hello.
How's it hanging?
Hanging good. It's hanging really good.
Yeah.
For no
So man. What brought you here to this den of iniquity?
Well, I received your email.
Are you a lesbian?
Yes. I am. You know, I might as well be just along with everybody.
I think that's the password tonight.
You know, a lesbian and a kinkster.
A kinkster.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm enjoying
In
it.
In what way?
I don't know. I'm still exploring those ways.
Oh.
I'm still exploring the ways. My thing is matured women.
Mature women.
Matured women, which is very hard to find nowadays.
Really? There's a lot of old ladies around. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I thought there was not enough old men. That's the problem.
They didn't have anything to do with sex, I'll tell you that.
Oh, well. Oh, you have to bring them out of their shell. They do. They just need to be seduced and charmed.
So listen, I was going to ask Dave. He's also a tour guide, Susan, and he wrote a book.
Oh, a tour guide.
So it's her birthday. So where should I take her? In Los Angeles. I
mean, let me see the number of places that you can go. Hollywood Bowl, Chinese Theater, down Sunset into Beverly Hills, Farmers Market, La Brea, Tar Pits.
We went to the Farmers Market for our anniversary. We stayed at the Farmer's Daughter Motel.
Oh, that's a dirty
with the mirrors on the ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was very hot.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was great to have mirrors
fun.
On. You know,
it was fun.
Talk about an objective view, like our earlier guest was saying. This was an objective view we got of ourselves.
Yeah.
And
the Gilmores owned about 32 acres of that whole thing, including the Grove.
But we don't want to go there again because
we were
just there.
Yeah, I know.
And
yeah.
Last year, for my birthday, we went to the spa. What's it called?
Sea Mountain Inn.
Nudist spa.
Okay.
And
in Palm Springs.
We were naked. It was fun.
There was no sea, but there was the mountains. There were no sea.
Yeah, I've been going to the Lair, you know. Everybody knows the Lair.
What's the Lair?
What's the Lair?
Decide right there on.
But that's kind of an S&M place.
S&M place.
No, no, we want to go stay somewhere.
I get beaten enough.
Yeah. I mean,
get a little spanking.
I have a nice deerskin leather whip.
Oh yeah.
No, this is nice, but I don't know. I don't know if we want to stay in a dungeon. I think something a little.
Well, they have quite a few playrooms.
No, I don't want to stay. I'm talking about staying somewhere.
Oh, staying somewhere.
We're going to stay somewhere. We're thinking about...
We're going to have sex there, too.
Yeah, sex,
This is serious stuff here.
Yeah, serious.
I'd say go up
mirrors on the ceiling or jacuzzis.
Up the coast, that's good.
17-mile drive.
Yeah, that's nice.
Because then we have to come back and, hang out with all these people.
Have fun going up and have fun coming back.
Have fun
going
up.
He likes trains a lot.
Have fun going down.
I don't know if I like trains that much.
I love trains.
Trains are love.
All kinds of stuff.
Trains are very romantic.
Yeah.
They are very romantic. And if you get a private compartment and everything.
Yeah. I mean, when you take a train in Europe, what's the great hope that you're going to meet someone and you're going to run off into a sleeper car? Right?
The sleeper car.
The hot spot right now is China.
We got 2 minutes.
Yeah, okay, let's go to China.
And he also wrote a book, right?
A book on the Grand Tour of Los Angeles.
Okay.
Oh,
absolutely.
Wow.
So,
what's the name of the book?
Hooray for Hollywood.
Hooray for Hollywood.
And by David whom?
By David Hunt.
David Hunt.
Uh-huh. Also known as Pappy.
Also known as Pappy, but can we get this online in Amazon or something?
No. You have to number one, take the tour.
Oh, I thought this was a book.
No, there you go. It is a book. Yeah,
it is a book.
Published. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
You can give us a copy here and we'll.
Let me show it to you right here.
Oh, okay.
And we've got 1 minute left.
We've got one minute of promotion.
1 minute, yep.
This is the show we thought we didn't have anything going on and we're scrambling to get everything in.
There it is.
Okay.
Oh, hooray this kind Hollywood. Of book. Okay, hooray for Hollywood.
All right.
But the thing about it is that I give the tourists so much information that they aren't going to remember it all. So that's a good way to remember.
Oh, I
right
see.
There.
You got it. So you're a real tour guide.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you about some more hot spots. Maybe we'll have you call in sometime and give us some ideas.
Yeah,
actually come back.
Yeah,
it'll be fun.
About where to go to.
We're down to 30 seconds.
Okay, so I want to thank everybody. We had a new producer tonight. A substitute producer, Nori. He did a great job. And and Max, of course, is my engineer.
Thank you, darling
girl. Brandilio is the other engineer. And Justin Juxley.
15 seconds.
You know, Cameron Marr. And Grace. Taking your calls, and we want to thank you, and we want you to enjoy your lesbian lives, all of you lesbians out there. We're all lesbians now, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Happy Memorial Day. Make love, not war. Drop pocket rockets, not Patriot missiles. Make love to someone you love tonight. Happy Masturbation Month, okay?
Right.
Yes, it's all out, even if that someone is you. I love you.
Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web.